Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. Right now, our guest is Dr. Matt Spaulding of Hillsdale University. He also used to be with Heritage Foundation. Matt, so great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you again.
All right. I understand that you have some advice for the Senate. Tell us about it.
Well, I think the recent collapse of the healthcare negotiations, every one of us watched very closely for that last little bit, was broadly unacceptable and points to the fact that the Senate especially, Congress in general, but the Senate especially, is proving unable to work. It's not legislating. It's not doing its constitutional duty. And so I've been pointing out to the president, President Trump, that presidents actually have an undisputed power in Article 2 to call back into session either both houses of Congress on extraordinary occasions. We usually associate that with great events. Lincoln famously during the Civil War, or FDR on the eve of World War II. But there are many occasions in which a president has called one session one house into session, or both, on very practical reasons. Harry Truman famously in 1948 called them back together to try to pass his domestic policy agenda, which they didn't. And then he turned around and ran against a do-nothing Congress. So my advice to the president is to focus this problem on the Senate. If it's not doing their job, he should call them back into session. I think it'd be a great move politically, but also from a policy perspective, the right thing to do if it's truly this crisis that he says it is.
If they do nothing, they will return when? Sometime in September?
They've decided they're coming back early September, so they've got a nice month vacation.
Wow, I'd like that.
If my children did this, they would be grounded. I was a teacher, I would cancel the students' recess. Employers would cancel vacation. This really is absurd. To build up, first of all, they had 8 years of preparation to do something about health care. They've known the House has done this repeatedly. Having prior to this, repeatedly the House had repealed Obamacare. Then they passed a repeal and replace measure. So they've had plenty of time to think about this, to get their acts together. And then in a fury of activity, couldn't pass anything. They tried three different versions. They couldn't get any of them through. And then they go on vacation. That's, in any other profession, completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They're not doing their jobs. You're saying constitutionally, President Trump has the ability to say, hey, these are extraordinary times and you need to come back to work. He can do that?
That's right. It's in Article 2, Section 3, the president may on extraordinary occasions convene both houses or either of them. It's an undisputed power, and the president can decide what those extraordinary occasions are. And the most famous examples are time of war.
Right.
But on 27 occasions, presidents have called both houses of Congress together for some reason. And on another 46 occasions, the president has called just the Senate into session, say to pass a treaty or consider appointments. That would be another good idea since this president is not getting a lot of his appointments approved. But there's no reason why he can't say this is an extraordinary occasion. He's already said that health care, the ACA or Obamacare is unraveling. People are losing their insurance. It's spinning out of control. We must pass this. Time is wasting. And we've just gone through this debacle where they couldn't pass anything by such narrow margins. This would have the effect of increasing the political pressure on them to do that.
He's got
the power to do so.
Yeah.
He should use it.
I'm glad you're bringing this up because 47 times, I mean, that gives us pause. I mean, it's one thing to talk about what happened with Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. I mean, that was so different than, most of the time of the country's existence. But this is a great thing that you're bringing out. I'm glad you're saying this.
So there's plenty of precedent. And like I said, the one I like is Harry Truman. His poll numbers were way down. He wasn't getting anything done. He did it solely for domestic policy purposes, to pass his agenda. And when Congress, at the time controlled by Republicans, didn't go along with him, We all know what he did. He ran against a do-nothing Congress, and he won re-election in 1948.
Yeah.
So what?
And surprised everybody. And by the way,
surprised everybody.
Just a real quick aside here. I just listened to a book on tape about Harry Truman, written by David McCullough and read by David McCullough, the historian, and it was excellent. Very informative. Yeah, it was excellent.
Truman is a great president, great statesman, especially in the midst of the Cold War. But here is a case where I think he's a model. What I would broadly recommend for President Trump is that he, and I think he's learning this a lesson he needs to take to heart, is that in Washington, D.C., a lot of getting things done has to do with exerting power, but in this case, constitutional power.
Hmm.
He's the president, and he's put more pressure on Congress, in this case the Senate, to do its constitutional duty, which is to legislate. And this is one way for him to do that. I think it'd be a good way for him to do that at this juncture.
Yeah.
But he needs to figure out, how do I exert more power over the legislative branch? It's got to be political power, which is, say, something that they feel threatened by in the political sense, right? This would increase the pressure on them and put more focus on them from a media point of view. It would make it more difficult for them to go back to their states where they have to be elected or reelected. And it just kind of tightens the screws, so to speak. If this is truly the crisis he's painted out to be, and I think it is, based on everything we know, and what's happening with this, then these are extraordinary occasions, and he has clear historical precedent. The constitutional power has never been disputed, and he can act. The only thing the Senate can do, which we'll see later this week if that's how they're going to play it, is they can stay in pro forma session, which is to say they can meet for, say, a minute or so, one person, one or two people, every 3 days, and they're not formally in recess. But if they do so, they're doing so to prevent Trump from exercising his constitutional power.
Okay, but suppose he calls them and they don't come. Then what?
Well, if they're truly in recess and he calls them, they have to come. There's no out for them. That's what I mean by an undisputed power.
Okay, their job description.
Their
job description is right there in the Constitution, whether they recognize it or not.
That's right. They can't do anything about that. This is one of the powers he has, is to call them into session if he deems it an extraordinary occasion.
Now, do you have
they can try to stay in pro forma, but I still think it would be a political embarrassment on their part, because this would really put the pressure on them and point to the fact that they're the ones causing the problem, and he's sitting there with his pen in hand, ready to sign something.
Yeah. Do you have his ear? The president?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that this was an idea that they've been bantering around about going into this recess, looking into the constitutional powers they have to exert some pressure on the Senate and try to force some action.
You know, and
so this was something there that they were considering, and I think it's something that is a strong and legitimate action on his part.
And for any critic of Obamacare to just say, well, we want Obamacare to implode so that we'll then have to go back to the drawing board or whatever, you have to realize there's a human suffering in all of this. So you're right. This is a crisis type of situation. Now, what about the threat that I understood President Trump, you know, said that, okay, look, let's force Congress to have to live under Obamacare. That's going to be the health care plan that they have, and they have to live by it, and he, as the president, should live by it, et cetera. And I don't think it's a shoe anybody wants to wear.
No, I don't think so. And as I understand it, based on how Obamacare was written, it allowed for the previous administration, President Obama, to designate Congress as a quote-unquote small business when it came to health care, which was an administrative ruling which the Trump administration could reverse. So another way to put pressure on Congress is to take away their special privileges, which gets them cheaper health care.
Yeah.
So I think he should do that too. But in general, what I think he should do is to think – in broader constitutional terms, as an executive in a separation of powers system, what can I do to try to bring about the change I think is best for the American people? calling them to session, taking away their special privileges, or otherwise using the various discretion he's been given by the law through the original Obamacare to do so, I think would be good moves on his part, both from a policy perspective and a political perspective.
Senator Orrin Hatch, a prominent Republican, said recently, okay, look, we tried it to, you know, repeal Obamacare. Let's move on to tax reform. You know, we're sick of this Obamacare thing, and let's move on. Your comment?
Well, I mean, look, if this was merely a policy disagreement that we can't agree on and we should go on to something else, that would be one thing. But the Trump administration and all Republicans who have voted numerous times to repeal it, and I think large numbers of the American people, and this has been publicly debated for some time, have come to the conclusion this is not a good health care system that we have. It's wreaking havoc in our markets. Mm-hmm. If it's left in the way it is currently, it's going to continue to unravel. Millions are not going to have coverage. The coverage they have is going to be very expensive. This is something that has to be solved. On top of which, I would add that Obamacare, to which we can add, say, Dodd-Frank, which is the big financial reform package of the previous administration, are large, comprehensive regulatory matters that are expanding greatly the modern bureaucratic state. There are immense reasons why this is the centerpiece of what needs to be done to reverse the policies of the previous 8 years. Mr. Trump has been very clear about that. And all Republicans have been very clear about that. Mm-hmm. And so to not see it as an extraordinary occasion, to think that somehow, well, we tried, let's take a four-week vacation and move on to something else, I think is well beyond merely punting the matter, but them really not doing their obligation to legislate for the public good.
So in other words, what you're saying is Trump should said, hey, guys, get back to work. The work's not finished, and this is urgent, and we need to care about this. And by the way, I even read there was a high donor or something to the Republican Party who is suing, you know, because of he wants his money back. You know, they lied.
I hadn't heard that, but that's clever, too.
Or he's upset about it, you know.
If these things are as serious as we've all painted them out to be, and I think they are, then it's the obligation of President Trump, just as it is the obligation of Speaker Ryan or members of Congress or the House or the Senate, to exert whatever constitutional powers they have to solve this crisis and bring about a better situation, not go on vacation.
Yep. All right. Anything else? We're basically out of time. And by the way, I should point out that you helped put together a massive book, and I know Ed Meese had part of it, the former Attorney General of the United States under President Ronald Reagan, one of the best, of course, on the Constitution. So this is something you
that's
know
right.
Well. And what was the name of that book?
It's called The Heritage Guide to the Constitution, and it's actually out in a second edition now.
Oh, good.
It's updated. And it's still, in my mind, really the best clause-by-clause analysis of the Constitution.
Wow, that's great. And I'm pleased to own a copy.
Area.
I'm pleased. Yeah, so thank you so much. Again, Matt Spaulding, he's been our guest for this particular portion of the program. Hillsdale.edu for more information. Thank you, Matt. All the best.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.